Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Welcome to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
And with me as always in these quarantine times, certainly always.
This is a very special quarantine edition of Life is Short.
Oh, that's good. And we did it. That was a good intro.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do the intro from now on.
Nope.
And with me as always is my, keeping me honest, my brother Christian.
Hello.
Hello. What was that?
You know, people have been saying,
don't God, you get self-conscious?
That was such an awful way to start a sentence.
What?
People have been saying about me.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
I know.
Well, you called yourself out.
I know. But I have read this numerous times now that people say I sound like the guy from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You told me that.
And
I don't really but every time I watch Bob's Burgers, I really like it. I don't know why I don't watch it more often.
I know. People whose comedic opinions I respect a lot really like Bob's Burgers. So I feel like I would like it too.
Wait, but which guy?
Bob.
Oh. Oh, the one with the burgers.
You know what? I sort of look a little bit like him too. Someone put like a Bob's Burger cartoon on Facebook or something, and I was like, oh, not only do I sound like him,
he's the one.
I kind of look like him now too.
He's the one with the mustache,
and
right?
And no chin.
Well, you know what, Togo? I didn't tell you this, but our friend John Togo said last night, so I put a little video of you on Instagram, he said, with your mustache, you're starting to look like Ned Flanders.
Maggie told me that like a year ago, and I was so insulted, and she's like, that's not a bad thing.
No, in fact,
he's such a nice guy. I'm like, that's not a good defense.
Yeah, I know. But Ned Flanders also has like a, remember when he took his shirt off?
Yeah, he's like ripped.
He's ripped. I love that episode. When he does the Tennessee Williams play.
That's funny.
Stella!
Yeah, when they do Streetcar.
Streetcar, yeah. Oh my God, that's good.
I guess though, I mean, now that I think about it, as far as Simpsons characters goes, Ned Flanders is probably one of the better ones to look like, right?
Yeah, sure.
You don't want to look like this
Monty
scientist
Burns or
Monty Burns.
Yeah, Mayor Quimby.
Homer.
What's that song? Stella, you're putting me through hella.
Uh-huh.
God, is that good. Speaking of Tennessee Williams, Tennessee Williams and people of certain lifestyles from that time who couldn't be free and weren't tolerated. We have been getting a lot of feedback from last week's episode where we discussed The Wizard of Oz and the characters.
Wow, that's a really good segue.
Thank
I don't know
you.
Where you were going for a second.
Really? We were getting a lot of feedback about we were discussing The Wizard of Oz. If you didn't listen to last week's, you really should. I'm sorry. We were talking about the characters, The Wizard of Oz, in The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow, and how they were. We described them as being, because Mo Rocca had been on previously, and he pointed out that they were zanies. A bunch of people on Instagram, one in particular.
And Facebook.
A fellow named Bill Flood, William Flood, who follows me on Instagram, was very accurately pointed out, I think, that we were wrong, that those characters are not zanies. They wouldn't be described as zanies. Rather, they are... They're called Nances, a Nance. The lion specifically is a Nance, which is a type of character. It was a like queer code. In fact, Nathan Lane, he pointed out, starred in an amazing Broadway play called The Nance about those actors.
We're laboring this. Let's cut to the chase a little bit. So people gave
Here's the weirdest thing about that. I did the first reading of that play, The Nance.
Oh, cool.
With Nathan Lane. And I forgot that.
That's great. To summarize, people basically said...
My segue was really good, but my setup was terrible.
The content was horrible.
I know. Sorry. Okay.
Basically, people were like, oh, you guys need to rewatch The Wizard of Oz, because if you do, you'll clearly see that the point of it is that the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man, the things they were lacking, they thought they were lacking, they had within them the entire time.
Yes.
Courage, brain, heart. And our older brother, Damien, who's smarter than us... Not that you have to be smarter than us to point this out.
No.
But he texted us about it, and he said, I think you guys missed the point a little bit.
Long text.
And he very thoroughly explained how we missed the point.
In depth.
But I would like to, and I agree, we did miss the point. Well, because it had been years since I had seen it.
Yes. And so, we've since
yeah, that, we saw it the other night.
Yeah.
So Justin and I, after all this, after this flood of criticism came our way, we decided to rewatch The Wizard of Oz with sober eyes.
Uh-huh.
And first of all you people are right, including our brother. That is the point.
And Bill Flood.
However, I would like to push back a little bit, as I think you would like to push back a little bit, in that in the story, in the movie, the lion is lacking courage, the scarecrow is lacking brain, the tin man is lacking heart. However, the only one that's clear to me is the lion lacking courage.
Yes, the other two don't necessarily need... They really all lack courage.
Exactly.
That's what we noticed when we watched
that. That's kind of the common... They're all lacking courage.
Yeah.
The scarecrow doesn't really seem to be lacking a brain as much as he's lacking a good sense of bodily control.
Yes.
You know, he falls a lot. He's awkward. But he seems plenty smart. Because let's face it, if you don't have a brain, you're not going to be able to exist.
Uh-huh.
Same with a heart, you know?
That's true.
There are things that a body needs to live.
Yeah.
Whereas courage is not one of those things. So I think it's a lot easier to show a lack of courage than it is to show a lack of a brain or heart. But I still say I think they could have done a better job in the movie if, not to shit on it, like one of the most classic movies of all time, but I think it would have been more effective if they had more clearly shown that the scarecrow needed a brain because he was dumb in some way, and the Tin Man thought he needed a heart because he was like felt like he was a sociopath or something. And then at the end, you realize that they didn't need that.
Well, I went down a little Google hole, a little Wikipedia hole, and I discovered that the original scripts. I don't remember the book. I read the book when I was a kid, the L. Frank Baum book. But I apparently in the original script for The Wizard of Oz, it was a 4-page outline because recent fantasy films had not fared well. The original writer recommended toning down or removing the magical elements of the story. In his outline, the scarecrow was a man so stupid that the only employment open to him was literally scaring crows from cornfields, while the Tin Woodsman was a criminal so heartless he was sentenced to be placed in a tin suit for eternity, torture that softened him into somebody gentler and kinder. And that vision was similar
kinder.
To... Kinder. What is it? Kind of. His vision was similar to Larry Simmons' 1925 film adaptation.
I think I would have enjoyed that movie a little more.
Well, yeah. And I also understand why they toned it down, because that would have been...
It's a kid's movie.
All
right. Wizard of Oz. Let's yes. get off it.
Okay. But basically,
we were wrong. And I think it's a little flawed.
It's also, as our brother also pointed out, Judy... The other thing that confuses it is that Judy Garland is... certainly acts older. I guess she was only 16 or 17 when she did the movie, but that character is supposed to be younger, I think.
In the book, she's a little girl.
Yeah, and so there's absolutely no potentiality for any sort of like confusion with the adult male characters.
Like we talked about in the last episode, I never thought it was creepy because those adults are people that we meet in the beginning. They're real people in Kansas.
That's right.
So it's not threatening because they already established that she feels safe with them.
But it's not so in the book, I don't think.
I don't know about that.
I don't think it is. Okay, shorties, feel free to continue to...
A thing that Justin and I have been doing with Maggie while in quarantine...
To pass the time,
we've come up with, and this is her idea, quarantine questions, we call them, and we have a big vase... that we write little sticky note question, you know,
yeah,
on sticky notes.
Whenever
questions.
You want, whenever the mood strikes you, just write a question.
And they tend to be hypotheticals, like, would you rather this or that? Mm-hmm. They tend to be would you rather questions.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one of these two things, what would you pick, you know?
Those are usually my favorites.
Yeah. They're more, they lead to the most fruitful discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah. If any shorty or listener would like to write in, with a good hypothetical, a good would you rather.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
We would love to discuss it and hear it.
That'd be fun.
Life is short.
We're running out of ideas.
Wondery.com. Yeah. But the one we had yesterday we thought was fun was if for a year you had to either A, have a propeller beanie on your head.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
anytime you were outside for a year, and assuming that this quarantine doesn't last so long, let's say, a propeller beanie on your head.
But just whenever you went outside.
Yeah, whenever you're outside.
Uh-huh.
Or if anytime you were outside, instead of walking, you had to skip for 1 year.
And so Christian and I did versions of what a skip is. Because there's a more muted skip that you can do. It still looks weird, though. You can try it out at home.
I would argue that the
try to do a subtle skip.
I would argue that the subtle skip is weirder than the exaggerated
yeah,
skip.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Because the exaggerated skip is like...
Everyone knows you're skipping.
You're a guy who's skipping.
Yeah.
And like that's a little weird, but people are thinking there must be a reason he's skipping. But the subtle skip is creepy.
But I think with either thing, you will quickly become the guy who does that. Whether it's like, oh, that's the guy with the propeller beanie, or that's
right,
the guy
who like
skips.
A hipster with a propeller beanie.
Yes, that's true. I don't think I've ever seen someone wear a propeller beanie in public. Who's not like a character? Who's not a kid? I don't think I've even seen a kid wear it outside of a cartoon kid or like Tweedledee and Tweedledum,
which means that so many people would look at you.
That's
it would draw a lot of attention.
So it's skipping.
No, but skipping, you just look like like a happy guy skipping into Whole Foods.
Whole Foods is one thing.
I'm picturing you skipping into Whole Foods.
Whistling. Yeah. Whole Foods is one thing, but imagine going. My big hangup was going to a ball game. Like going to an outdoor stadium.
What do you mean you skip at a ball game? I mean, you sit at a ball game.
But what if you're skipping to you'd have to skip to your seat down the aisle.
You just have to give yourself plenty of time and get there early.
Oh, you'd go to the stadium early?
So. Yeah, to avoid ridicule.
You're going to have to go to the bathroom if you get there that early. You're going to skip to the bathroom.
I wouldn't drink beer. I wouldn't go to a baseball game.
You know,
for
you
a year.
Also pee due to other liquids.
Also, you don't have to go to a baseball game year.
Aren't you excited to go to a game again? But although it seems like crazy now.
I would pick skipping for the record.
Yeah. You don't both have to pick skipping rather than wearing propeller.
It's also good exercise to skip.
Yeah, sure. Also, it is less embarrassing, I think.
But you do walk a lot over the course of a year. Think about that. Mm. And propeller beanie is just like part of your outfit. It's a lot easier to do the propeller beanie.
Oh, much easier. You get better shape skipping, though. And here's – you take it off and you can go inside. You stop skipping when you go to the movies or an indoor stadium. You go to a dome.
You could also take off your beanie once you go inside too.
Yep. Yep.
So
– there you go. So mull that over.
Yeah, chew on that one for a while.
Shorties.
All right, let's make a call.
Yeah, okay.
But every week we'll try to talk about one of those.
And as Christian said, feel free to give us any good hypotheses.
I hope you're sitting down for that news.
Speaking of sitting down, we are going to check in with easily our favorite guest of the show, our grandmother. A lot of you have been very kindly wondering how she's doing, and I just checked in with her myself, so I thought maybe we can all check in with her. I wonder if she's going to act different, because I told her we'd be calling on she'd be on the show. She's going to put on a podcast voice.
She didn't have much of a podcast voice.
So for those of you who don't, that's true. She's 103, our grandmother. She's in Lake Worth, Florida. Maybe we shouldn't have said that. And hopefully she'll answer.
Hello. No one
Please. Okay. Should I try her again? Try her on the house phone? On her cell phone?
Why don't you call her on her cell phone?
I wonder what she could be doing. She emailed me last night. We sent her, because we've been...
Hello?
Hello?
Did you call a couple minutes ago?
I did. Where were you?
I was answering the phone, and it had died in my hand.
Oh, because you didn't charge
it? I had to go scrounging around for another one, and you were gone.
Look what you've done.
Sorry.
So where are you right now?
We are in our little podcast. We have a little, podcast
you're
studio.
Home?
Yeah, we're in our little podcast room.
Quarantined.
Yeah, we're quarantined. What are you doing?
I'm in my living room.
Uh-huh.
You're keeping me from my walk, you know that.
Oh, sorry. All right,
I walk two or three times a day, either with a cane or with my walker. What else can I do?
Well, that's kind of what you were doing before the quarantine, right?
Well.
Okay. I mean, how different...
Do you go out every day?
Yeah, we go out every day.
We play catch.
We play a lot of catch. I just set up a basketball hoop.
It's all right for you to go out, but I can't go out.
You cannot go out, which is why. So you got? I sent you toilet paper.
Is it just because I'm old that I can't go out?
Yeah. And not only old, but very old. And you, people know this if they listen to your episode on the show, but you are one of the few people that survived the Spanish flu.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Try it again.
Okay. This is my question
That's
for you.
A little bit better. Okay.
All right. We can talk
about it. I want to be able to hear you, you know.
Well, you have to let me get you that hearing aid, a better hearing aid.
Oh, it's bad hearing.
I know. Because you should have a better hearing aid. Your hearing aid is 10 years old. All right. Hey, can you...
Got my hearing aid in and everything.
Okay. How are you doing? People want to know how...
They say, where did you find those little rolls of toilet paper? I have never seen anything like it.
Well, you know, I feel a little guilty saying this, but a couple weeks ago, when we were trying to encourage you to stay home, we didn't want you to leave, so I ordered it.
It's very soft and lovely. Thank you so much, honey.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, this is like an ad for this Chinese toilet paper.
Somebody last week said they were in Walmarts and they were delivering some angel toilet paper to them. So they bought a whole bunch of them and they dropped off a package to me. And I said, well, I'm not out yet, but thank you very much. So I'm pretty well fixed.
Oh, all right. Well, then you'll be fine for a while. I think people have been dropping stuff off for you. We've been sending you groceries because nobody wants you to leave.
Hi.
Yes,
he's
right here.
Christian.
Good morning.
Christian, I don't know what's wrong with my phone.
Well, you know, I'm a little far away from the phone because Justin is closer to the phone, so that might be why it's hard to hear me.
Maybe, yeah.
Well,
here,
I'll
put it closer to Christian.
I'll try to hear the best I can.
Okay. Can you... but I think just generally people want to know how you're getting by because a lot of old people are – this is, you know, the most dangerous for them. Are you afraid?
Oh, you know, how dangerous for me can it be, honey? I've passed the time that I should have died so long ago that I don't even think about it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good.
Goals.
In fact, I think I should be able to go out and do my own shopping.
Yeah. You should, well, but
you're
not, right?
Annoying not to be able to go to the store.
I know. It is annoying. But you don't want to catch this thing. You don't want to get this thing.
No, I don't want that little bugger on me.
Because it's not a good way. It's not, it would be very unpleasant to have. It would be so hard to breathe. And I had it, you know, Grandma.
Grandma, did you know that Christian and I, we think we had like a mild, Christian had it more severe than I did. And his girlfriend, Maggie, who you know, had it pretty bad. The virus.
This is very annoying. You know, I have a neighbor downstairs that normally lives in a little town, a little coastal town near Boston.
Uh-huh.
Son drives her down, and then he comes down and picks her up.
Jack?
Just comes for the winter.
Uh-huh.
And he can't come. He says he's got to get the okay from the doctor. I said, what does that mean? Well, he doesn't know if it's good to travel, to come down and all this stuff. So she's still here and she's usually gone by the 1st of April. So, I mean, isn't anybody on the roads?
Not really. I mean, the roads are where we live, you know, we've just started going out because we were quarantined for a while. The roads have been like, there's certainly no traffic heading into
New York.
I mean, we live in a very like trafficky area in Connecticut, and it's like
Los Angeles. There's no traffic. People are saying.
I read a story in a book. I read a lot of crazy stories. I would say, now who would have thought of that? That's never going to happen. That couldn't happen. I would not believe this.
But what are you talking about? You
stay home.
Yeah, but isn't that what they did during the Spanish flu?
Wow.
Grandma, isn't that what they did during the Spanish flu?
Written.
All right. She can't hear. Grandma, hey, We love you. We just wanted people to know that you're okay. We want to know you're okay. So.
Well, I'm okay, honey. I'm as okay as I can be.
Okay. Well, what have you been doing to pass the time besides walking 3 times a day, which is great?
Well, what have I been doing? Yesterday, I was doing a wash at this time.
What have you been reading? Are you reading anything good?
I've been trying to clean out drawers so that when John comes, the moving won't be so tough.
It's going to be great. And we have plenty of place here at the new house, and you're going to really love it.
I didn't hear that.
You're going to love it, and we're going to love having you up here. And now you have tons of toilet paper to do anything with. You can pull a prank on your neighbor and TP their apartment.
Well, I've got one more phone I can try.
Oh, that's okay. Grandma, we should go, and you go take your walk.
This is annoying, this phone.
I know. We'll call you later. It's
hard. I'm not going to buy a new phone now because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here.
Oh, God. Okay. We'll send you one.
Are you still there?
Well, maybe a sponsor of the show will send you one. No, we'll talk to you later. We'll call you later.
Okay, honey.
Okay, we love you.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay, bye. Stay inside. Okay. Well, she's constantly saying that that she doesn't want to buy anything new. She doesn't want us to get her anything. The one that enrages me is the hearing aid. I think we talked about this when she was on the show. Her hearing aid is like 12 years old.
She does seem a little bit more resigned to it. She seems a little fixated on
going out
and coming up here.
Yeah, which is good.
I get why she's feeling, I mean, everyone's feeling claustrophobic, but yeah. I think especially older people who tend to be a little more stubborn than younger people in certain ways, I think it's harder for them to not get to have their routine. Well, you know, old people are very routine oriented.
Our father's feeling frustrated.
Yeah, and our mother too.
Yeah.
But she sounds a bit frustrated to me. And, well, I'm glad she has been staying inside.
You know, she also lives in a tiny little condo. And she sounds like she's climbing the walls a little bit. And I'm sure many of you are. But I think for the greater good. I was curious to know if she had any memories about the Spanish flu.
We could try her again maybe when she has a different...
I'm going to send her a phone. She needs a fucking phone.
And
a hearing aid.
If she moves back up north, it might be easier to have her on as a regular contributor.
That would be so fun. That'd be great. Okay, and right now we're going to check in, as we have been for the last few of these. We're going to check in with our friend, Dr. Dave Kessler. Someone wrote in with a question specifically for Dave. So hopefully Dave's a little bit younger than our grandmother, so I think his hearing might be a little, hopefully, better. We're going to try Dr. Dave.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
That's how I like to start all my phone calls, too.
Either yes or no.
Yes.
In this case, if it's no, you just hang up.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys holding up?
Pretty good.
Really good. Yeah. Everyone in the house is now seems to be 100% healthy. Maggie's taste, which was the last thing, has come back for the most part. How is everything, Dave? For those of you who have not been listening, Dave is on the front lines in New York at Columbia Med. How is it going there? How's it looking?
I could say, I think the last time we spoke, we were right at the peak and plateauing. And I think we're at the top of the mesa right now. Mm. You know, it is, still very high acuity. Patients are very sick, but, we are able to keep up with it in terms of our resources.
And that was the fear, right? Was that there just wouldn't be enough ventilators and there wouldn't be enough equipment.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, I mean, I'm certainly in the loop on a lot of things, but we'll probably be learning for weeks and months, all the efforts, you know, that were going on simultaneously that brought us to this point where, we had enough resources for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, the caveat being, of course, the rest of healthcare is more or less shut down. We're just one giant emergency department in the city right now. So means, you know, routine surgeries, routine, you know, business as usual is shut down, of course.
Christian's very upset about not being able to get his eye lift done.
Yes.
His brow lift. Dave, at the risk of, like, we don't want to, at the risk of getting political, although maybe it's hard not to at this point, what do you think about those? I know a lot of governors are resisting shutting down states, and there's been talk of opening the country back up. From a scientific standpoint, what would that really do to any progress that's been made?
We're opening up certain areas.
Yeah. You know. Is there any scientific logic behind maybe opening up certain areas?
Yeah, well, so I think the challenge here is now, you know, science doesn't care about politics, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that headlines aside, it is a really good question about what is best for health overall. Mm-hmm. So if you give me a minute here, I'll try to explain. I think that there are some long-term, you know, implications and short-term implications of not having, you know, as much access to care. Of course, we're meeting a lot of that with telehealth.
Right.
But in terms of the economy, see, one thing that we don't maybe like, you know, pre-COVID, we're not talking about as commonly, but it's very clear to us in the ER that the economy and healthcare are inextricably linked. You can't mm-hmm. separate the two. So whether you're talking about the fact that the majority of Americans in the current system get their healthcare through their job, or the mm-hmm. fact that they're, you know, or the other side of it, right? Those who don't have access to healthcare because they don't have a job or they don't have the kind of job that provides that. So I think that system itself, I could tell you, you know, apolitically in the ER, we've always seen how the parts of it that don't work mm-hmm. and doesn't work for all Americans. And so we really are at a crucial moment as a country to figure out what's it going to look like.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons that right Britain nationalized their healthcare was coming out of the devastation of World War II.
Now I'm not
saying that's the only solution here, but I'm saying what we used to have didn't work.
Yeah.
We need to find a way to make it better. So
yeah, but I've been hearing a lot of people and we did our share of this incorrectly, I think, describe this as the great equalizer, an event like this. And I think that's inaccurate. I think it's really highlighting all of the inequality that exists in this country. And I think the first and foremost, healthcare being the most obvious one.
It exposes the cracks in the system. It's like you took a ceramic bowl that had a few cracks, you microwaved it and it blew up, you know? And you're absolutely right. But I mean, to answer, I don't know if I fully answered your question about the state border thing. Well, you know, frankly, we don't know. I think that, you know, in as much as the intention behind it might be that there will be real big implications for, for economy deteriorating, there will be. So we have to figure out how to open up eventually. But I think that, you know, to do that safely from a scientific standpoint, we're not there yet. 100% because we don't have the testing we need. So we don't even know who has it. Now, that is coming online. So maybe that's part of this tri-state plan.
It is.
That it'll be in conjunction with that, right?
We were going to ask you about that. We had been hearing about, we talked about the antibody test, mm-hmm. something that Christian and I are eager to take, thinking that we had it. When will that, do you know what's going on with that, when that's going to be available?
Right. And you know, it's funny because it sort of, this highlights the whole thing we're talking about, right? So
yeah.
I know that there's already like, you know, it's a free market economy. People are already buying them off the shelf. There's a lot of scams there too. So you got to be careful, but there are tests available. At the same time, our healthcare workers are being offered the first testing in-house, not until I think tomorrow. So, you know, it's sort of like, instead of this being a coordinated effort on a national level where we're doing it in a scientifically sound way, like, you know, first having our healthcare workers be tested, for example, you know, there's it's a little bit of a free-for-all. Now, the New York State response, I think, has been really, really good about this. And I think within the week, you know, that will be more routine in terms of the testing. It's not as simple as we talked, I think, on the first episode. It's not as simple as like, hey, there's a test. Like, not every test is the same.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of competition out there. There will be a lot of difficulty in discerning what's good, what's not. And then also, we don't know what the immunity means. As you've seen in China and other places that are starting to open up, there's second waves happening. So,
it's not for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, like... I really hope that people just continue to educate themselves, and we start to shift the conversation towards, as you are, towards like, well, what does science say? Let's listen to scientists. Yeah. And when I say that, it's probably not the same person as the sensationalist YouTube video that knows something no one else knows.
Right.
I've seen a lot of those. My friends and family ask about them innocently. Uh-huh. I get it. And they're eroding the ability for us to trust on a single scientific voice, because people start to question, well, you know, are all these miracle cures out there?
Of course. That's surprising to learn that of these tests, see, I would have thought that there was just one uniform, you're talking about an antibody test. Here's the test. I'm surprised to learn that there are different products and different companies creating these tests. Competing for something that seems so essential.
Well, you guys are baseball fans, right? Does everyone use the same bat and the same baseball? Are they all the same quality? I mean, you know, just because it's round doesn't mean it's the same. Uh-huh. Quality. And so tests are the same way. You know, there's cheaper tests, there's better made tests, there's validation of tests that are better than others. And then there's straight up scams out there, especially at a time like this. It's sad to see.
But that's surprising because, I mean, baseball bats aren't so essential to our survival. they can be if you're in a dark alley. In this case, I would just think that the government would really get behind one, you know, making this a priority and making this centralized.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing. They're not. So, I mean, one thing is then who do you turn to? So, like, you know, our hospital has been working on this since day one. And, you know, part of the reason why it's not out yet is because they want to make sure that the test they use here is going to be good. Now, you know, of course, funding comes into it. So if the government said, like, let's just put all our money on this one place, then, you know, you can optimize what's coming out. I mean, I'm not opposed to the free market principle here, and that I think multiple places working on it at the same time also brings about,
innovation,
a higher quality thing. Yeah, an innovation. Yeah. But it still hasn't really been a concerted, coordinated effort on a national level. You're right about that.
That's incredible.
Hopefully we see that shift a little bit.
Yeah. I have a question here. Usually we read questions at the end, but one specifically came in for you, Dave. And do you mind if I read it and ask you this question?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. This is from Stephanie. Hi, guys. Hope you're continuing to be on the mend. Question for your doctor friend. We have been told that it takes about 14 days for symptoms of COVID-19 to develop, implying that after 14 days, we likely don't have it. This seems counterintuitive because Christian and Maggie have been symptomatic for more than 21 days, right? I hear a lot of stories of folks who have been sick for longer. If this is the case, why would we presume 14 days is the, quote, safety zone? That's a good question.
Excellent question, yeah.
Yeah. She says someone could have it and be asymptomatic for who knows how long, unless can you still have the virus and not be infectious? Is that what I'm missing, or does the virus die off while residual symptoms linger?
What was her name again?
This is Stephanie.
Stephanie, thank you so much for that. A really astute question.
Yeah.
And I think it highlights the difference between policy and science here. So some of the scientific papers, she's absolutely correct, have shown a median of 20 days for symptoms.
Wow.
When you do a median, that means that you're somewhere in the middle. So there are outliers on either side, right? So that means some people are like Maggie's. How long has it been now? 30 days?
Well, mine was 22 days, but hers has been 30 with no taste.
Yeah, so she's on the outlying, but it highlights that, you know, people, you're absolutely right. People can be carried. Now, how that plays out in policy, obviously there's other factors there. Maybe they're balancing sort of, and early on when they said 14 days, maybe they were balancing sort of the information they knew at the time and sort of economic implications.
And with other influenza strains? I mean, is that the typical – that's more typical of other influenza – what we knew
well, so
about
influenza is a different virus than coronavirus.
Oh, right.
But you're right in that there's a range. For all viruses in general, there's this general range.
Right.
And again, you pick something – I think in the past, from a public health standpoint, you're picking something that's practical, not necessarily because that's – you know, 100% of cases won't be infectious for that long.
Yeah.
We have different policies, just so you know, like when you come into the hospital and you have the same virus, that you might tell someone something different for when to return to daycare than you would tell them if you're going to do, you know, a liver transplant, then you're going to follow, you know, much stricter guidelines that accommodate. So she's absolutely right. And I think, you know, what we saw now that, again, screening is a problem, right? So in our hospitals, OBGYN program, you know, they made a decision early on, despite, you know, the fact that tests were scarce, that one priority they would have is testing every single pregnant mother who was coming in, you know, getting ready to deliver. And they just recently published a study, I think last week, in the New England Journal of Medicine. And I might misquote the number exactly, but it's something around a 15% asymptomatic carriage rate. So these were people who didn't have any symptoms or think they had COVID, but they were positive. That's an alarmingly high rate, and it's caused some of the epidemiologists I've spoken to start to redo the numbers based on what they originally thought coming out of the data from China and Italy, that the and we knew that there was a lot of asymptomatic carriage, but that it might be even higher than people thought. So for every test, every number you see reported of how many COVID positives are in New York, they're saying there might be, originally they were saying like 1 to 10, and now they're thinking, you know, even as high as 1 to 100. So there might be 100 times more cases going on than are being reported. I mean, anecdotally speaking, like the number of patients we test to the ones that we see that, you know, probably have it, but we're not testing, you know, including you and your brother, right? That feels about right to me. I mean, that, you know, seeing a lot more than we're testing.
Yeah, I talked to my friend who's in Sweden now, and she's an actress and is continuing to work. They're doing productions. She's in the northern part of the country and has been flying back to Stockholm. And she said the mindset there is that they're much more concerned with older people and people with pre-existing conditions staying home and quarantining, whereas the rest of the country is not on as strict a lockdown, and the idea being that everyone is going to eventually get it,
like chickenpox.
Yeah, just like a herd immunity will develop.
And I read that article. I think it's an interesting concept. Again, like, you know, no one knows the answers. We'll see what sort of happens there if that's a smarter approach or not. It, you know, the other thing is that this isn't a never-ending thing, right? So I do want to push back on the herd immunity concept, because with herd immunity, what happens is a good portion of the herd dies off first, you know? Uh-huh. And then eventually it sort of situates. And so, you know, that might be inevitably what happens despite all our efforts. But from a scientific innovation standpoint, and this is obviously, I think Gates is probably pouring more money into this than the government right now, but in terms of trying to rapidly develop a vaccine, I mean, that's going to be what saves our parents' lives, right? Herd immunity is not going to help them per se if it's so contagious. I mean, the idea of herd immunity is that, you know, since so many people are immune, it stops spreading. Now, with this virus, we are seeing people immune but still carrying the disease. So it's not clear. It's just not clear. You know, when we'll hit that point where this burns out on its own.
And Dave, you talk about all the potentiality for so many asymptomatic cases. Is that true of other viruses? I mean, is that true, let's say, of influenza?
There's different rates for every virus, and it's definitely true. And you know, when my kids were very young, and you know, I could sort of spot it, like, oh, they have a little runny nose, and they'd be like, oh, no, I have allergies. And I'd be like, oh, no, thanks. Like, we'll cancel the play date. You know, because, you know, that is how things spread normally. And that person has a symptom in my mind. Yeah. You can also have no symptoms at all. But the difference here is that, you know, normally you have a little cough and a cold. It's not killing lots of people.
Right.
You know, my friends who have children who are immunocompromised or undergoing chemotherapy, they're like, we've been dealing with this forever, you know, in terms of the, you know, being around people who could potentially spread. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a normal virus in that case could be deadly to them. So we're all just experiencing, and, you know, people who are immunocompromised may be feeling all the time around those of us just carrying like our little coughs and colds. So, but, you know, coronavirus is really, it's an equalizer in that way, in that it's affecting not just the elderly, not just the immunocompromised. We have otherwise healthy, you know, 35-year-old, 22-year-old, 18-year-old, 9-year-old people who are dying from this.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's what really has everyone's attention and what has everyone so scared.
Yeah. Well, it is a scary time. And as always, thanks, Dave. Thanks for filling us in on this stuff and for all your efforts on the front lines. It must be, I can't imagine what it's like for you and your colleagues right now. It must be truly insane.
Well, it's certainly surreal. I don't think I've come out of that dream state yet, but I'll see you on the other side. Thanks to Stephanie for the great question.
Truly, in fact, the remainder of her letter I should finish. She says, either way, I think messaging needs to change, and obviously yet another reason widespread testing needs to happen before we get back at it. My boomer parents have been isolating for weeks, assume they are clear, and are now back to less than ideal hygiene practices in the house, like coughing without covering their mouths. My mother has asthma and assumes it's allergies. She's 80. Thoughts, thanks in advance. We have similar concerns about our own parents, you know, relaxing once the curve does, which it looks like it is maybe starting to flatten.
It's flattening, and that's again just about resources to keep people alive. But we'd like to move towards prevention. Has always been the better part of medicine that gets ignored in this country. you know, the amount of money that goes towards fee-for-service or surgical things as opposed to sort of primary care. You know, that needs to change. If we're going to come out of this. But really, I think that I think it's a really good point Stephanie raised.
Thanks, Stephanie.
I'm glad that people are sort of it's refreshing that there are people out there paying attention to science, asking great questions, and not just listening to headlines or whatever the sensationalist piece of the day is.
Yeah,
agreed. That's going to be where the pressure comes from. The public educates themselves.
Right.
And instead of just, listening to what's being fed to us, then I think we put pressure on our local, on our regional, state, federal governments to sort of get the change we deserve.
Well, thank you, Dave, for answering those questions and for helping to fill us in, because we're all scrambling to understand this. And so thank you so much.
We're all in this together. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Dave. We'll talk to you soon, Dave. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Smart.
And God, he must be. Him.
And if you guys have any questions like Stephanie had for Dr. Dave, feel free to write in and ask them at lifeisshort@wondery.com.
That was a great question.
Yeah. So this is a letter we're going to read now.
Well, okay. This is a letter. Why did I have to repeat that? You just said it's a letter. This is a weird instinct. Justin and Christian, hi from post-apocalyptic Toronto. I hope you're both staying safe and well and sane. A? Didn't write A. I added that. I'm sorry. I've been fluctuating between panic and boredom. The first few days I wandered around my house like a Chekhovian character. When I got too bored, I would remind myself there's a killer. Did Chekhov's characters wander? I guess they did. They were always kind of like aimless.
I'm just impressed that you so easily just said Chekhovian.
Chekhovian, maybe.
Chekhovian.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I've never seen that written, but I love Chekhov and Chekhov.
Chekhovian.
I guess they do. They kind of meander, and they're kind of listless, a lot of Chekhov's characters.
Yeah, I guess they are.
They're waiting. Another winter is upon us, When will we get to Moscow? A lot of that. When I got too bored, I would remind myself there's a killer virus, and that spiced things up. I've since settled into somewhat of a routine. Writing, baking, live stream yoga classes. Hey!
Yoga with Tim.
Yeah.
Not an ad.
DDPY? Kind of an ad. Taking walks and nodding at neighbors 10 feet away. Reaching out to friends and watching Justin Trudeau get increasingly frustrated as he realizes his polite appeals aren't working. Oh, God, I forgot they had Justin Trudeau as a leader. It's cool.
What a charmer.
I know, my lord. Toronto's great. I love Torontonians. I learned that quarantine comes from the Italian for 40 days. Oh, I didn't know that. So it's almost funny that this is happening during Lent. It's almost funny. Actually, what's happening is that as I'm typing this, my dentist emailed to say he's available for a virtual session for $150, presumably, so I can shove my phone camera into my mouth and he can tell me I might have a cavity that he can't do anything about. Nice try, Dr. Bernstein and Associates.
Not an ad.
That's funny. This person's funny. I'm grateful and I'm anxious. I'm grateful my sister is home. I don't get to see her most of the year. Slipping into it. As she lives in Dublin, she's the person I laugh the most with, so it's great to have her around. That's cool. I'm sure you can relate. I can. I'm a writer and an actor, so I'm also grateful that I get to do at least one of those things from home. I have a poorly timed grant from the Canadian government to develop one of my plays. So we now rehearse over Zoom and are trying to figure out how to live stream a play reading. Isn't that amazing that the Canadian government gives grants to things like that?
They really support the arts.
They do. They do support the arts. And a lot of their films come from public funding.
Yeah, and they have to use a certain percentage of Canadian actors in them.
And crew, yeah. I wonder what this pivot to the digital will mean for art, though I'm quite wary of talking about art when there are nurses and doctors and, yes, grocery store workers risking their lives and scientists trying to save us all. That is true. I really, like, balk at talking about anything.
Balk. That's always been a tough one for you.
Yep. Yep. What was the other? I had a tough time. What did I say the other?
Adult.
Adult or something. Yeah.
Adult.
You always make me repeat it. Adult. Adjusting to uncertainty is, of course, anxiety provoking. I was a few weeks away from moving back to New York on an artist visa. Gee, all these visas. And was meant to go to LA for some pitch meetings. They give grants to go to do pitch meetings.
I wish, like, I was Canadian.
I know. It seemed like everything was about to come together in some way, and it's all up in the air now. That's annoying. But we're all facing uncertainty. We're in the same boat, which feels like a life raft, and I suppose things were always up in the air. We just like to pretend they're not. I'm grateful that the earth is breathing. I'm grateful we have time to pause and reflect and hopefully reconsider some larger structures. It's true. I hope we can learn to care for one another better. Maybe this is our saving grace. Lastly, I'm grateful I have your new episode to look forward to. Ah, your podcast always brightens my day. That is very nice. I especially love the interview post-mortem, as I'm someone who wishes I could discuss every conversation I've ever had after it happens. I particularly love the Jesse Eisenberg episode. That might be how I found this podcast. I know Jesse a little bit from directing one of his plays here in Canada. That's cool. And hearing you guys dissect that interview felt like any conversation I've had with my sister after any interaction I had with Jesse. Jesse is certainly one. It's a fun one to dissect. Yeah. He is fascinating and so funny. Your mix of enthusiasm and anxiety was both validating and hilarious. Thank you both for your work, your openness, your humor. I apologize for the length of this email. Life is short, but I have too much time on my hands. And as a Canadian, I have to end on an apology. Eh? Lots of love, Veronica.
Try lots of love again.
Lots of love, Veronica. Sorry. What a great letter, Veronica. Letter. And it's spelled the Chekhovian way, with a K.
Maybe she's part Russian.
Maybe Russian, Veronica.
Good letter. Yeah, gratitude is important. And it's okay to acknowledge frustration, I think. That all this shit was supposed to happen.
I know.
And now they've been put on hold.
Yeah, I know. Again, this is... I hesitate to even indulge in this, but Christian and I feel lucky that we finished this thing that we had been so – this creative endeavor that we'd been so looking forward to doing. We finished principal photography right before the lockdown and all this happened. So we are now editing this movie, but it must –
via Zoom.
Yeah.
Not an ad.
Yeah. And so we feel lucky to have that to do and other things to keep us occupied. But and as always, we continue to feel – immense. It's hard to even put it into words, the gratitude we have for people who are working to try to end this. All the healthcare
workers. Grocery store workers.
Oh, my God. You know, the few times I've since gone to the grocery store, I just feel I want to – I can't thank them enough.
You
want to
hug them, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
– I also – I've been wondering lately – how, because I think handshakes are going to be a thing of the past once mm-hmm, this is over. Mm-hmm. And I keep wondering what will be the new handshake. And I don't think it will be the elbow bump.
No.
Although I think that's the most likely. But I think it's going to be something else. It won't be bowing because I don't think,
you know,
it's too submissive.
I think whatever it is, this may be a positive that we're going to be more deliberate about whatever it is. We're gonna be more present for that moment of whatever that hand, because people started doing handshakes and whatever the greeting is, it became just like a rote thing.
You know what I think it's gonna be? It's gonna be some version of a nod. It's either gonna be a downward nod or like a frat boy upward nod. Like,
yes.
What's up? But it's gonna be some version of a nod, I bet.
A frat boy. Or not, yeah. You know, I have been nodding, just that, having interactions with people on the road when I've been driving.
Me too.
Haven't you noticed?
Maybe winking will become the new handshake. That is that too
weird.
Creepy?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And some people can't wink.
Or blink. Like a deliberate blink?
That also seems weird.
Well, I'll see what you guys think.
Maybe a doff of the propeller beanie.
Oh, yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
if you guys want to write in...
We are doffing our propeller beanies to all of you listening.
If you guys want to write in with anything, really.
Yeah.
How you're making the most of your quarantine, any fun hypothetical questions,
or
we would love to read them.
Or what your suggestion for how we should greet each other in the future
is. Yeah, I'm curious what people think.
Yeah. I've always liked the Japanese way, but here, the few people
we're
I've seen...
We're just so far from Japan as a culture. It's hard to imagine us adopting that.
I know. And they were... an island nation, so it was easier for them to be more, you know, mm-hmm. Select. What's the word? Exclusive. I mean, that can also that can go either way. That's too. That's all right. Let's
well,
not go
thanks
down
for
there.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks to Grandma. Even if she's listening, she probably won't hear this.
We got to get that hearing thing.
I
sorted
know
out.
She won't let me. I know. I'm just gonna.
It's her Achilles heel. For a 103-year-old,
I looked
that
it up.
To be the one thing that's really holding her back. Is
I know.
Silly.
It's really my fault. I should have just bought it. She won't let me do it, but I'm just gonna buy it. But it's a couple thousand dollars for a really nice state-of-the-art hearing aid, and it would make. And she keeps every time I bring it up, she's like, "Oh, honey, what do I need that for? I'm gonna."
We should get that for her.
I know, really stupid. So we're gonna do that.
And thanks to Dr. Dave. Thanks again for his wisdom and insight and compassion through all this.
Totally,
really, really appreciate him. And if you guys have questions for him, please feel free to write in.
And thanks for listening. Thanks for staying in. If you're able to, if you're not able to, thank you for whatever the reason is you're not able to. And
we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah. Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-boo. Life is Short is hosted by you,
Justin Long. It's produced by you,
Christian Long,
and Megan Monaco. And the senior producer is Michelle
Mish
Lands. Executive producer
is Sergio Enriquez.
And executive producers are Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez.
For Wondery.
Again, as always, we really appreciate them doing these ad-free.
See you soon.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.